Good morning.
Good morning.
Look at all the people here. Hey. It's good to be here. It's always good to be here. It's kind of like coming home. And as I was thinking about the preparation of this talk, a movie came to mind, and it's the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Who remembers seeing that? I Googled it, and I found out that it was released in 1969. Oh, my God. Talk about feeling old. Some of you aren't that old. You know, weren't even here in 1969. But anyway, I don't remember a whole lot of details about the movie, except maybe Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Yeah, right.
Gorgeous, gorgeous men. But one thing, phrase that they used throughout the movie was, who are those guys? It was consistent with, who are those guys? It stuck with me. And so when I was in ministerial school, I did a talk on who are those guys. And I'm sure, I don't remember the details of that either, but I'm sure it had to do with us, them, you know, kind of separation and all of that. And rather inclusiveness. Whoever picked these songs must have been reading my mind. Just as amazing. So anyway, it really hit home that what we're experiencing in our nation right now, in our country, and to some degree in the world, is who are those guys? There is so much differentiation, if you will. Who is that person? A whole lot of us and them. I don't know about you, but I think many, if not most, people these days are now faced with that question, who are those guys? We look at our family members, we look at our colleagues, we look at our friends, and sometimes we hear things coming out of their mouths that are so different than what we think and we believe. Like, who are you? How do I? And sometimes, because it's a family situation, it's a work situation, we have to come up with some way to deal with that without being us and them. We all have different opinions and beliefs, and with social media, we end up with silos of information, you know, that's all tailored to what we believe. So understanding, communication, being able to feel like is not as likely to happen these days. There's so much of it. And I think that we're more divided as a country now than I have ever experienced. And I don't like it. I don't like it. I am the kind of person who wants to understand what makes people do the things they do. I like to understand. I had a degree in psychology. Well, why? So it is my experience. Now, this is Sharon, not Unity teaching, but according to me, what I believe is that as human beings, we have an innate tendency to categorize. And if you think about it, it makes sense, because all sensory information is coming at us. And if our minds had to figure out again and again and again, oh, there comes my friend Sarah. You know, the category is my friends, and within that it is Sarah. So we do this categorization, I think sometimes unconsciously, sometimes consciously, and we notice lots. We notice what color hair they have, what kind of clothes they're wearing. We notice, oh, that person has a great smile, or gosh, that person was really rude, you know, as the cashier. We notice all these little things. There's nothing abnormal about that. There's nothing wrong with that. We're noticing things. Since we are unique individuals, we rarely find anybody who's just like us. But then there's another psychological thing that comes along, and it has to do with belonging. You know, that is that human beings want to belong. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to when they talk about finding unity, coming to unity, and there's this, they, again and again and again, I hear, I felt like I was coming home. Belonging, you know, we want to be a part of something. Most of us are part of a family, we're part of work groups, we want to belong in some way. So you get this categorization, you get this belonging thing, all that, we're rolling along, everything is just fine. However, sometimes all that can cause what I call distancing. Once we get to the point where, okay, all of us like the color yellow, and somebody comes along and likes the color blue, and we go, so we turn our back on them, you know, and we distance ourselves because they're different from us. Not always a terrible thing. We come together here on Sundays, and it's nice because we say we're like-minded. We are. We're all kind of interested in spiritual growth. We want to support each other. That alikeness and wanting to be a part of that is great. But that distancing, that can become a problem. I heard a term, and you might have seen it on the e-blast, and it's in the bulletin. I heard a term the other a few weeks ago, brand new for me. It's called othering. Who's anybody heard that before today? Yes. And I love that Kristen had on the definition on the e-blast. But the definition says, othering means to view or treat a person or a group of people as intrinsically different from and alien to oneself. Othering. Still not horrible. But in othering, a marginalization process happens where that exclusion, you begin to see that. Now, othering is used on purpose and has been for years without having that title. The military does it. They have to create within soldiers an othering attitude, a hatred of whoever the enemy is of the day, so that they'll go out and fight them and kill them. Othering is also a potent weapon that people who want to have power can divide us. And we saw that majorly with Hitler. He convinced a whole nation of people that unless you were white, you were not Jewish, all these things that were outside, you distanced yourself and you were of the right kind of person. If you weren't, as we know, you got killed often. So othering can have some just really terrible consequences. It says that this marginalization process happens and a person or a group of people are excluded from another group, culture, or society by people who consider them to be incompatible with their own values and principles. We've seen that here when people from Europe came over and claimed the United States, and Native Americans just became second class. Lands were taken, they were, you know, horrible things happened. We saw it in the Civil War years, where slavery was so common, and to accept that, I think, in my opinion, again, on a human level, they were given to believe that blacks were subordinate to, in terms of intelligence and everything else, they were subordinate to whites. And so it's only right that we should make them slaves. Othering can be horrible. Now all that's true. And then think about languaging, because it can really sway things. to further this othering process. When we generalize, everyone who doesn't like yellow is a bad person. I mean, you know, fan clubs? Fan clubs all kind of are on the same page, and sometimes that can... Churches, we are terrible about we're right and they are wrong. So these generalizations create divisions. There's that united we stand, divided we fall. So true, so very true. Now think about the power of words and all of the energy that comes with it. If you think about the immigration situation, you hear undocumented immigrants, or you hear illegal aliens. Which has the most energy for you? This one is true. I mean, they are undocumented and they are immigrants. Over here, alien, that conjures up spacemen for me. And aliens, ditto, you know. So words are so very, very powerful. So when you hear things, and it can become easy to just kind of say them too. Sometimes even really seemingly innocent comments can have impacts that you aren't aware of. Have you heard the term, you throw like a girl? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like it'd be such a big deal, but as a girl, inside I always was thinking, what's so bad about that? But behind that, these words kind of insinuate that you should throw like a boy. Because that's the right way. That's the good way. Now, most time these othering things, these using of words and expressions, it's unintentional. We're not intending to hurt other people. We're not intending to exclude. But sometimes, as I've already said, sometimes people do that for their own purposes. So what are we to do? We have these family members. They believe differently than we do. It is. So how can we come together and not be us and them? To feel like we want to be with them, that we want to be involved in their lives. Well, first of all, I think we can simply begin to be more aware of our words. And be aware of those times when we see somebody maybe being targeted or bullied, or, you know, if you see somebody, teens, I think, or children can be very hurtful, very cruel sometimes. I still remember with guilt, back in the fifth grade, they were choosing people for girls for some kind of dodgeball, I think it was, and they had two captains who were choosing the people, and there was one girl in our class who was different, and she was intelligent, but she just was different, and one was chosen, and Kathy was the only person left on that. I felt horrible. I wanted to go out and be with her, you know, but I didn't have the courage in the fifth grade to do that. If we think about it, we have courage, we have resources. We can watch and see if we can't see some of these othering activities, and if we can do something, just go be with the person who's being targeted, if it's safe. Be more aware. That's number one. Number two, we can strive to begin to think of ourselves and everyone else as we. Not us, not them, we. We regularly affirm here, God and I are one. We are all one. We're one source. We are one. So who are those guys? We are those guys. We are those guys. Always. And then third and most importantly, We look to Jesus' teachings. That's why we come to Unity. We look to these teachings for answers. Because sometimes the world presents hard to answer questions. You know, how do you get along with your family member who thinks something way out of my world experience? How do you do that? So to go to scripture to find out what we might do. There is a passage, I think, that came to mind, and I may have to put this down for a second. Okay, this is in Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 32, I think this is Jesus speaking, and he says, when the Son of Man comes in, so when the second coming, I think they call it, when the Son of Man comes, he will sit on the throne of his glory. And then here, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. Now you might think, sheep and goats, what the hey? What are we talking about here? So metaphysically, we use the metaphysics of things. Sheep represent receptive, obedient, productive thoughts. Metaphysically, we look at the Bible as just kind of a story of our own selves, our own lives, and so we have these thoughts. If you have sheep thoughts, they are ones that are receptive, obedient, productive thoughts, wanting to do good. If you have goat thoughts, they represent disobedient, aggressive thoughts. Have you ever had disobedient thoughts? I have them almost every day. I'd like to have that chocolate cake. No, you don't need that chocolate cake. Okay, so anyway, so sheep and goats. Think about your thinking. He will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. We. Another example of answers from scripture is, get myself organized again, okay. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said, you shall worship the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything you've got. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In this passage, there are three things that are equal. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. There are no exclusions in that. We. And then finally, Jesus, there are many examples in New Testament about Jesus with interacting with, working with, involving undesirable people. You know, back then it was not acceptable for men to talk to women other than household, you know. So men weren't supposed to go around talking to women. Jesus did. Talked to the woman at the well. Lot's the woman who asked for a blessing and touched the hem of his garment. Time after time after time, the story of the Good Samaritan is a parable that he gave about this very thing. They're not real classifications, you know, whether you're this nationality or that nationality or your skin color is this or that. We have so much more that is alike than different. In the Good Samaritan, someone from a different country was on the ground. And then people walking by, I don't know they were all men, ignored him because he wasn't in the right group. Until a Samaritan, who was also considered to be not the right people, a Samaritan came along, picked him up, put him on his horse, took him to the nearest, whatever it was, I want to say tavern, but I think that was kind of like a place where everybody they met, they could eat, it was an inn, all the nearest facility. And the man paid him, the shopkeeper, the innkeeper, to take care of him, to provide medicine for him and food for him, and he would come back later and check on him. A good Samaritan. Jesus is saying, this is an example of what we're supposed to do. This is how we're supposed to be. I'm asking us, encouraging us to change our thinking, to stop thinking of us and them, to think of everyone as we. Even those people that we find despicable. They're Jeffrey Dahmer as an example. He is a man who twisted thinking. I can't imagine what he was thinking when he did those atrocious things and then ate his victims. You know, just, how can you do that? But they are still people. They still have the light within them. The thinking has just gotten twisted. You can't see they're just the mentally ill, what their afflictions are, but they're as real as a broken leg or whatever. So we are all one. There is life in everyone. There is a dignity just because you are alive that we want to recognize. When I became a bereaved parent, I went to these meetings and we were told that we were to look for the blessings. Well, that was hard, you know, at first, like, what? But I decided to try it. And in a little while, I began to be able to see. Well, because things are the way they are now, this is a good thing. And what happened, oddly enough, was as I looked for blessings, they say, whatever you look for, you'll find. And it really works. It really works. I was so busy looking for blessings, and it just continued. It just became a way of being. I'm looking for the blessings. And I see that. I mean, not that I can't see a lot of the other stuff that's going on. I do. But there are blessings. There are opportunities, you know, for each of us to stand up and offer our gifts and talents and do whatever we can. We. And I believe in my heart of hearts, this is a time when the world needs our light. It needs our positive thoughts. It needs our ability to see each other as a part of a whole, humankind, a part of ourselves. So this is a time, I think, that as our name, Unity Church of Light, it is a time when we can begin to be that in expression. We can be that light. We can begin to think in terms of we. Stop looking for all the differences in each other and look for the similarities. Look for the we factors. And will we belong? Absolutely. We'll belong to the human race. We'll belong to to that group of people who is trying to move the vibration, if you will, of life, human life, up, and bring some peace, bring some love, and bring some joy back. So to do that, we need to think of we. Let's change our thinking from othering to oneness. So let's take a few moments to consider these things in contemplation meditation. Excuse me. So before we do that, let's use the words that Jesus used to teach us how to pray by affirming the Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you're comfortable doing so and haven't already, you might consider closing your outer eyes, or perhaps softly focusing on the candlelight in the front. By doing that, we kind of tune out all of the outer for the few moments. We become still in bodies and mind. And for the body, we purposely give our attention to it and look, scan your body and see where there might be some places where you're holding some tension that are uncomfortable. And then just focus on that area and release, relax, let go. Let that seat that you're sitting in fully support you. And your mind, the mind never is quiet. There are thoughts that seem to be going across the screen of your mind all the time, but we can stop attaching our attention to them. So we bless those thoughts and we let them pass. And what is helpful to me is I kind of focus on becoming receptive, almost like being listening. But I'm not listening for anything in the outer, I'm just listening for something, you know, in the inner, just being receptive, being open. What I know and recognize and have experienced many, many times is by doing this regularly, consistently, I am aligning myself with that higher part of me. I'm aligning myself with what we call the Christ, the inner Christ. And it is from this place that we have power, that we have access to guidance, that we have comfort, that wisdom comes to. We call, when we're in this space, we call ideas that come to us often divine ideas. This mind that each of us have within us, our human minds, are a part of, have access to one mind, divine mind. And as we open our hearts and align with that higher self, that part's important, then we find ourselves nourished, we find ourselves open and receptive to whatever our needs are of the day. more often we pause in this manner, the more we become aligned, the longer we can operate, see and hear and speak from this alignment. We say often, through our Christ eyes, through our Christ words. We are the light of the world. And when we visit this communion, this connection regularly, we shine our lights more brightly. And so this morning, we just consider the world for a moment. And there is chattering. I just got an image of like a whole ocean full of mouths that were coming up and chatter, 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 chatter. It's not peaceful. There's lots that's happening that seems to be very distracting. It seems to be very destructive. So we put our minds in this place of quiet, our place of knowing the truth. The truth is that each and every person in the world has this presence and power. As we affirm that, energy goes to that Christ in other people. So ideas can come to them, and do come to them. This morning we look out and we see a world of beings that are all part of we. People in our circles, people in our groups, people in our families, the other members of we. Often, of course we're going to do the best that we can for them. Of course we're going to help them. Of course we want what's good for them. And we can expand that desire, that willingness to help, to be with whatever needs to be. So that from our place, we are participating in this idea of one mind, oneness. So as we do each week, I offer that we will spend just a few moments in the silence to just be aware of this alignment, be aware of the experience of this alignment in the silence. And as we come back into this time and space, we consider the experience we've had. Maybe there were ideas that came to us. Maybe there was an awareness of something different than what has been normal for us. Maybe there's just this beautiful sense of peace, which is our true nature. Joy is also part of our true nature, and so even in the midst of calamity, we can call on the experience of joy and love. Maybe we experienced a sense of love, that well-being and belonging that we so desire comes from love. And so we give thanks. We give thanks that we have this opportunity, especially that we have this awareness. And we give thanks that we have an opportunity to try this we manner of thinking. Because the truth is, we are one. The truth is that we are all so loved by the Creator. We are all part of the oneness. And we give thanks that we can hold in our minds peace and joy and love, and know that that energy is spilling out over into other parts of we. So we close this time of togetherness with that sense of gratitude, with new ideas, perhaps with a willingness to go forward and perhaps be just a little different than things were before. We are here, we are one, and we are grateful. Thank you, God. Amen.